Please be seated. Let's pray. God, as we come to this time to celebrate the cross, to celebrate Jesus, your body that was given and your blood that was shed, I pray that you would, that your spirit would work in our hearts to remember the cross. Jesus, it is in your great name we pray. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We are sinners, and we get distracted, and we so quickly forget the cross. Here at Grace Bible Church, we remember the cross, and we celebrate it through communion every week. We take a little piece of bread, and we take a little cup that represents Christ's body that was given and his blood that was shed. And we eat and we drink as Christ commanded, and we do this in remembrance of him. If you're here and you've not repented and believed, you would not call yourself a slave to Christ, then we would ask you simply to just pass those elements by. We are glad that you are here, and we pray, and our prayer, my prayer, is that you would repent of your sins, you would turn from your sins and turn to Christ. Please ask the people who brought you. Please ask one of the elders. Please ask questions. Believers, the Apostle Paul tells us that we must examine ourselves as we come to this time. And if we find ourselves in unrepentant sin, then we need to turn from that sin right now. We need to confess it and turn from it and partake. Please look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Follow along as I read. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The Apostle Paul here is speaking to believers, and he is reminding us of our spiritual condition prior to being saved. He reminds us what a powerful, compassionate, and gracious God did to save us. The beginning of verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Believer, you and I were dead. We were spiritual corpses. A dead person cannot respond to anything. And as Smed reminded us last week, a dead person can no more make themselves alive than a pile of dirt can form itself into a man. We were dead in our transgressions, in our trespasses, and our violations of God's law. And when we were in that spiritual condition, God did not leave us there. He made you alive together with him. God made you alive together with Christ. God took the initiative. God acted upon you and upon me. And he raised us from the dead. And in the same way and with the same power that God raised Christ from the dead, he raised you and he raised me from the dead. And then what follows, God wants to show us his complete, absolute, unqualified forgiveness. Look at what follows. He has forgiven some of our transgressions? No. He has forgiven all of our transgressions. Our God that raises the dead canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees that were against us. This certificate which was hostile to us. God provides this metaphor to show that as we have violated God's law, we have incurred a spiritual debt, and that every individual transgression of that law, every lustful thought, every frustration, every anger, every time we fear man rather than fearing God, every of those violations is accounted for and added up for our entire lives. And that certificate of debt, that handwritten document, contains what we owe God. That's a record of our violations, a record of our guilt before God. And we can't pay it. There's a judgment and a punishment for every line item on that document. And when God makes a dead man alive, that new man recognizes his sin. He responds in agreement that he is a sinner before God. And he walks up and he signs that certificate of debt and says, I am guilty before you. And you know what God does? He cancels it out. He erases it. He wipes it away and it is clean. This is not simply saying that you're guilty and I'm going to let you off. This is saying that you are not guilty. There are no longer any charges against you. There is no court indictment of you. You are declared innocent before God. But God is a holy and a just God. And there is guilt that must be judged and punishment that must be given. Back then, when a criminal was crucified, his executioners would nail to his cross a list of the crimes that he had committed, that he was being put to death for. And that is exactly what God does here. He takes the list of your crimes and my crimes, and he nailed it to the cross. Everything that you were guilty of, he takes it out of the way and he nails it to the cross. Christ, the innocent one, became guilty so that the guilty, us, could become innocent. God took our guilt and nailed it to the cross, and he poured out his furious wrath on Christ. God crushed him. Believer, as you take communion this morning, think about and consider and celebrate this God that made you alive with Christ. And praise him for being a transgression-forgiving, debt-canceling God, and praise him for his guilt-receiving, wrath-bearing Son on the cross. When your hearts are prepared, please take communion on your own. And I'll come and close our time in prayer.